Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now,
we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954, with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com.
Hey, good morning, everybody. By golly, glad you could get up this early in the morning and join us. And we'll have some latecomers come on, and we'll welcome them later. But this is Inside Outdoors with old Buddy Bill here.
Hey, and I'm Rich Reardon, and I'm happy to be up here. It's 32 degrees, so it's not too bad compared to its been.
I thought it was supposed to get a little cooler last night than what they said, but that's all right. I'll take 32.
Yeah, I'll take it. It's freezing, but not quite.
Yeah, well, it's it's still March and still wintertime.
That's right.
So, I got a frog in my throat.
Well, while you're dealing
with that, I don't know
where
he's got any frog legs or not, but I'm going to try and get him out.
Let me tell the folks that this is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also at 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, and 105.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. Now, did that give you a little time for the frog to go away?
That gave me a little time, but he didn't have no frog legs.
He didn't?
No.
You like frog legs?
Oh, yes.
Do you? All right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they've got a few places around town where you can get them.
A friend of mine down in Florida, he comes up and deer hunts, and he brought me a big package of frog legs down there. They were really good. I had to bread them myself, but that's all right. Clarice knows how to make the breading, and that was no problem. Or you can get them down at Odin at the locker plant down there, Swartz and Troopers down at Odin that we've mentioned a time or two here in the past. And they've got a good variety of different, fish and frog legs and what have you, but you can get them there, I know. And they're already breaded, so you don't even have to bread them. Bring them home, throw them in deep fryer, and cook them suckers.
All right. Well, speaking of weather here, and which we started with, it is overcast today, and we're right at 32 degrees. Humidity is about 66%, and looking up for the next week, I'm thinking it's, it's going to be a little bit chilly until right around Wednesday, and then Thursday we're looking like we're going to get back into the 50s, and then 60s, and then next week, I think we're getting over winter. Do you think so?
Well, first 2 weeks come in like a lion, so and there's no doubt about that. We've had snow, wind, rain, cold, not much warm,
right?
But the first 2 weeks did come in like a lion, and last 2 weeks should go by out like a lamb. So we'll see. That's the old saying, and hopefully it works this time.
Well, I'm ready for the lamb to show up.
I am too. We kind of get a little pushy this time of year anyway, because it's coming out of winter. Spring, you know, is just right around the corner, and and you get to thinking about them gardens, putting them plants out in the flower beds.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you a little itchy.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I think we're going to have to take a break.
We're going to take a little quick break and, you know, get things set up. Hopefully we'll hear from Don here soon, and we'll get going.
Yeah, Don will wake up after a while. I got something to tell him, so
good.
He'll wake up. So don't go away, folks. Leave that dial right where it's at, and get you another cup of coffee, and have Mommy put you on a ham and egg sandwich, and we'll be right back in just a short.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and me, Rich Reardon. We'll be back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. It is now 32 degrees here at WFHB in downtown Bloomington. And hey, we're at 91.3 FM. And we are volunteer-powered community radio. 91.3 FM in South Central Indiana, 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And if you don't hear this today, come on back. You can find us online. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By golly, glad you could join us this morning. I see the phone lighting up there, and I bet we got somebody on the other end.
Hello.
Hello. Well,
let me try it again. There he goes. You there, Don?
I am.
Oh, that's good. That's good. We was afraid you got sunburnt and was in the sauna room or something.
I'm in the cold room. It's 49 degrees down here in South Florida this morning.
Well, I'll be. Well, it's 32 here. It ain't much colder down here than it is there.
Well, it's 17 degrees.
Yeah, that's not much. Not if you say it real quick.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be 75 again today, as usual.
Well, yeah, it'll warm up. It's you're in Florida. Heck, it's going to warm up.
Well, you know, if it does, it's going to be pretty stinky because we got a big red tide going down here right
now. Still going.
I'll tell you a little more about that later.
How long does that last?
Until it's done.
Well, that's a good, good answer, yeah. Hey, I got something for you.
What's that?
The maple syrup ought to be running pretty heavy right now.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's glad to hear that.
Well, I'll tell you the reason why. I went out, yesterday morning, and I normally don't notice stuff like this till after you mentioned it, and I seen this here clump of dirt, and it looked like a honeycomb with frost on it. And I said, hey, Don,
the sap is
running this morning.
You know exactly what I was talking about.
Well, I knew what you was talking about. I just never paid any attention, and, of course, in the grass, I mean, you won't see it in the grass.
No.
But where the moles had worked and stuff, and there's a little bare spot, why, I just happened to look down and I said, ooh, Don, the sap's running this morning.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad that became visible. Anybody that looks down at the ground, when it's doing this, will see that.
Right.
I don't know where you go to buy tree taps these days, but I suppose you can probably find them someplace on the internet.
I don't know where you go either. Cadiddle Hoppers is about the best place I'd know to go to find something like that.
Is that Clem Cadiddle Hoppers?
Clem Cadiddle Hoppers, yeah, old Dave, yeah. Dave Clem. I'd say that's where you would get them.
Where is that?
That's out on West, what is that?
Kirkwood.
Kirkwood, yeah, yeah, out there at the end of Kirkwood.
Out there at the end?
Yeah, you know where Kleindorfer's Hardware is.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's it. Cadiddle Hopper.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I forgot.
Well, you're still asleep.
Your Bill-isms, they sometimes sneak up on me, you know?
Uh-huh. But I would say if they don't have them there, Dave can find them.
I bet so. It's probably in one of those trailers out there behind this store.
Yeah, probably are. He's probably got a whole case of them.
Yeah, there's not very many people that know what's in those trailers, but there's one or two of those guys that knows not only what's in them, but exactly where it all is.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
Well, Kleindorfer's is a local treasure, and I sure hope that the rumors we heard about them maybe closing up are not true.
I hadn't heard that.
Well, one of the Kleindorfers passed away.
Yeah, well, that was Dave's boy, yeah.
And everybody was kind of holding their breath to see what would happen after that.
I don't think it'll close, because Dave's got another boy that works in there, and I don't think you're going to have to worry about that, surely.
Well, I certainly hope so, because it's the last of its kind.
Well, it's... I don't know where we're supposed to be talking about this or not on the air, but it's.
I think this is news.
Well, it's a place you can go and get just about anything that you want in the hardware and business.
Well, definitely the hardware business has changed through the years. And when I grew up, you could go in there and you could find just about anything you could ever think of, and they tend to not quite be on that level anymore in general, but, you know.
Well, the thing of it is, if they don't have it, they can get it.
Yeah.
Or they'll try to get it.
Right.
I ran into that this year. The furnace that my electrician installed in my new house has a odd size filter. Now, don't that beat all?
Yeah, well, that's nothing unusual. They'll put a different one in every furnace.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, you know, nobody carries this size, and so I went down to Kleindorfer's and went there back there to the back room. They ordered me a box with I guess it was a dozen of them in it.
Probably.
And I got them. You know, it was not the easiest thing in the world. But once you know that you can't find something like that, Kleindorfer's is the place to go.
Oh, yeah. And it's always been that way, and they'll continue to be that way.
Well, the other hardware store, Johnson's, right? That's the other old-time Bloomington hardware store.
Yeah.
It was downtown, you know?
Right.
It had everything just like Kleindorfer's does, but it was all up in the second and third floors downtown there at their old store.
Uh-huh.
So I would like to have been around when they cleaned that out up there.
Well, yeah, and then there was Thrasher's Hardware.
Thrasher's Hardware?
Yeah, Thrasher Hardware. Remember that one?
I don't. Where was that?
That was up by the Harris Grand, or no, by the Roxy Theater.
By the Roxy. Well, see, Roxy predates my arrival.
It was right in there. I'm pretty sure that's, that's where it was at.
Anyway, we still got Johnson's. They may not be what they were, but they're still a good store. And Kleindorfer's, of course, covers everything.
And then there was Johnson's Hardware down on Madison.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that one? And,
I do. Yeah.
Jimmy Jordan, they was across from the jail.
There was a lot of them in those days, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, they was. And then Eberly Hardware was there on 5th Street.
Oh, yeah. Remember Eberly. Now, a lot of these were mainly around in the 60s, I guess, weren't it?
50s, 40s.
Well, that was back in the day when you could actually fix something instead of throw it out and buy a new one.
Correct. Yeah. You're right.
They don't do that anymore.
And, of course, these places we're mentioning are long gone. Everybody's retired, and Jimmy Jordan, he retired and, of course, passed by now, and Eberly Hardware, they retired and closed up, and Thrasher Hardware was the same way, and Johnson Hardware, and so, I correct me if I'm wrong, Bloomington Hardware and Kleindorfer's is the only two remaining that's been here for umpteen years.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way yeah, that's exactly right. They are the only two left from the old days. The
best I can remember, yes. And they're locally owned, and, you know, and they fit right in the community.
Probably one out. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say there was probably another one around or two that were in outline, what used to be outline, like in Ellettsville. And
yeah.
There was probably one out in Unionville at one time or another.
I don't remember Unionville. There was one over at Ellettsville.
Well, there you go. See, every place had a hardware store because everybody needed one, you know?
Right. And, of course, they were scattered out around the town. Wasn't much outside, but the only way you had to get to them was by horse and wagon. And there wasn't no many automobiles way back there. And I'll try and think. I'm sure there was some more somewhere. I can't. I'll have to think a little bit on it. And of course, a lot of people don't know that washing machines were made down in Smithville, Indiana, either. And they was a
whose
nice
washing machines were those?
You know, I don't know the brand of them. It was there right downtown in the corner there. It was a ice plant there, a coal plant, and a wash machine factory.
Washing
small
machine factory.
I mean, they wasn't great big, but
well, yeah.
And a lot of people don't know that either.
No, I didn't have any idea.
Well, they're talking about, you know, you see in the newspaper, they're talking about the things that's in the past, what Bloomington used to be, you know, and stuff.
Oh, yes. Well, that's
I just thought I'd throw that out. Maybe somebody would be interested in it.
There's a lot of that reminiscing going on right now.
Uh-huh.
There's a Facebook page, Bloomington as I remember it, that's really good. There was just they have a lot of old pictures on there. There was just a picture of the old Graham Van Orman Hotel from obviously the 1930s with all the cars parked there.
Uh-huh.
Boy, that was a nice building when it was young. It
oh
was
yeah,
quite a good looking building.
Was right. That Graham Plaza now?
Yes, it's the one there on the corner where Arginum is.
Right.
Well, I hear music.
Yeah, we're about ready to take a break.
Uh-oh.
Glad you called in. We'll be back in a couple minutes. But, yeah, I remember that Grand Plaza. I was just in there yesterday, and it's still a nice place. That was the premier place in downtown Bloomington at one time.
I was when I was in college still. You know, they had some penthouse suites upstairs in that building, and well, that's where the locals had their fancy parties.
Yeah,
I never went to any of them.
Well, anyway, we got to take a break. We'll be back. Just hang in there for a minute.
Yeah, don't go away, folks. Leave that dial right where it's at, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. You're listening to WFHB Bloomington 91.3 FM in Bloomington at 98.1 FM, Nashville at 100.7 FM, Ellettsville at 106.3 FM. And it's community radio for South Central Indiana. Right now, the weather is about 32 degrees. Today will be sunny with a high near 50 and not too windy. It's only about 6 miles an hour. So definitely a nice little time of the year. It's starting to look a little better, and we were just talking about that. But you're listening to Indiana Public Radio, community radio, and we're happy to be here on WFHB. This is Inside Outdoors. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. And Rich, you and Brian done an excellent job on that song.
Oh, well, thank you.
I love that song.
That was a lot of fun.
I'd like to hear it all the way through. We're going to have to play that sometime all the way through.
I will do that,
yeah. You've done an excellent job. Boy, I like that. Different instruments there, and this sounds great.
Well, if you heard the words to that, it'd be pretty cool, too, because... just to explain, I got a friend named Larry W. Jones, and he's out in Colorado. He used to be in Texas. He calls himself the Kingwood Cowboy, and you get a chance to check him out online. It's KingwoodCowboyIbelieve.com. But what he did was he loved country music, and not the kind of country music that they call it now, but the original stuff.
Original, yeah.
He likes all the Hanks, about seven of them. They're Hank Williams, Hank Snow, Hank, any of those Hanks, And so he started, his hobby was he's not a musician, but he write lyrics. And he has over 7,000-8,000 songs on his website of just country lyrics that he feels is in the old style way. He's also, he worked for the airlines in the South Pacific through most of his life with his wife, and he loves those Hawaiian songs and those Tahiti songs and all that. And they're kind of similar because they've got, pedal steel, the Hawaiian guitar kind of thing. Kind of similar in certain ways between the old country music and that. And anyway, so he wrote a lot of lyrics, and I got involved with him. I helped him with his website and various other things, and I took some of his lyrics and then tried to write music to it as just a hobby.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where that came from. It's one of his songs originally.
Well, so that's good.
I'll play that for you one of these days.
Yeah, we're going to have to play that for everybody.
You're going to have to play it for everybody because old Don didn't hear it out here. I don't guess we didn't hear that song.
Well, it's just I use it for the bump music when we go to break, so at least on one of them. Bill seemed to notice it last week, and it was a lot of fun. Brian played some mean pedal steel guitar on that one, so it was pretty fun.
That Brian, he is a ace when it comes to playing different instruments.
Yes, sir. Anybody has a pipe organ in their own home, you know they're probably into music.
They're into it somehow. Yeah.
Pipe organ, man, that's pretty hot, pipe organ. I was going to mention Les Paul, of course, invented the pedal steel, right? And I saw an interview on TV with the Beatles back in the day when they were coming up, and boy, they gave a lot of credit to Les Paul on that pedal steel and his recording innovations where he did multi-track recording.
Yes.
He was the man.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Back in his day, yes, he was.
People don't realize how much he had to do with the future of music back then in the 40s and 50s. He was trying to do multi-track recording, and he and his wife, they had some amazing recordings. If you get a chance to go back and listen, they're incredible. They're just absolutely talented people.
I know you used one on our show a few months ago, Les Paul, Mary Ford, and Tiger Rag.
Yeah.
Which is, that's a classic example of multi-track recording. You get that echo kind of feeling, but it's not really echo. It's another voice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's great.
Yeah, they're great. A lot of fun.
Well,
I got some stuff to talk about this morning, if you want to.
Well, I got one thing to bring up before we get started, and this will be real short, but I just wanted you to know that the ruby-throated hummingbirds are coming back here
fairly soon.
Wow.
Well, they're down by you by now. They start showing back up March 1st through 15th in Florida and Georgia and Alabama and Mississippi and all those states. Then you start getting up to Tennessee and northern parts of those same states and around March 15th to 30th. And then by the time we get to southern Indiana and Kentucky and everything, it's about April 1st to 15th. So we should be seeing them coming up pretty soon. And if you get the chance to put some nectar out for them on your back porch, they'll be happy because they'll be tired after
They'll be tired and hungry.
Yeah, after getting off the geese that they
now do they come up on the geese?
I think
too?
They come up on the well. You would know. I don't.
Yeah. Well, the hummingbirds do.
Uh huh.
And the geese are starting to come through too.
Right. So you might see a few of them. Around.
And that's a good sign of spring.
Absolutely.
When you see them and the winter birds coming back. And you know, there's been robins back.
I've seen a robin this year.
Yes,
other day. Yeah.
Robins are back. Well, not all of them probably, but there are some robins back.
I got to tell you, fellas, you know, not all robins migrate, or at least they don't migrate down to the warmer weather.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen robins around all winter long numerous times on bad winters.
Well, this one here said had a sign on it said Australia or bust.
Did he make it?
He made it.
I guess so.
I guess.
Yeah, he's back.
So, what do you got for us? I just wanted to bring up the hummingbirds were coming back. So,
go ahead, Don.
Oh, I kind of lost you there for a second. The airwaves must be disturbed.
Well, they got a cloud in them.
They got a cloud in. Well, the big news, of course. As you guys know, is the proposed bobcat hunting and trapping season.
Yeah, they're mm-hmm. still talking about that.
Well, you know, it was an endangered species, and it went from that to this stage where they're now proposing a regular hunting and trapping season starting next November the 8th. For bobcats, and this, of course, does not set well with a number of people in Indiana. Although the DNR seems to be all for it, and they've kind of made it hard to find a place to comment. But we found some of those too eventually after looking around for a while, and. This new set of rules that's coming out includes a lot of other things, and I want to kind of go down that list. There's stuff in there about game breeding licenses and fur buyers' licenses. Apparently, fur prices are back up, and this has led to a resurgence in trapping. And trappers want to trap. And sell and keep otters and bobcats and just about anything else that you can think of. They've removed bears from the exotic species list in Indiana because there are two of them showed up in southern Indiana. So I don't know where we're going with this, but I'm kind of a little worried about what's going to happen.
Well, it's terrible. I see no reason really to hunt a bobcat, and they're beautiful animals, and there's really not much you can do with them except for the fur, like you said, and you know, it just seems like you ought to, you know, keep the wild ones in the wild.
Yeah, well, if I ever get this back up here, it's there's going to be a couple of hearings on these wildlife proposal change in rules and regulations, and when we come back from our next break, I'll list those and give you a few highlights of what else is in this package of rule changes for hunting in Indiana. Okay.
All right. Yeah, we'd be looking forward to that.
Well, I thought it was about break time is the reason I said that.
Oh, it's coming up in a little bit, but we still got a few minutes.
I'll tell you about the lake. The lake is high. I was talking to a boy. He'd been down a couple of weeks ago, took his boat down. Of course, fishing's not good. Water's high and muddy. And it's about, I didn't get it last night, yesterday. We had other problems yesterday, but it's right at 548.
Wow.
And that's 10 foot above.
Yeah, 10 feet, yeah.
10 foot above normal.
Of course, we've seen it higher than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been up 557.
Right, that puts it over the spillway.
Right.
It?
Yeah, we've seen it higher. I mean, it's not the highest, but it is high.
Well, I'm sure that spillway is going full tilt right now then.
Well, probably not, because the Ojai and White River and all them, unless they've went down, and I haven't been down there around Bedford this week, if they're still as high as they was, they're not letting it out.
Mm.
And that's one reason it's back, you know, getting so high down on the lake, because they're holding it back due to the fact that the Ojai, I think they said, was the highest it'd been in 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take a while for that to come down.
Yeah.
Corps of Engineers reservoirs are all there for flood control. That's the reason they were built anyway.
Right.
And they always say that's their number one mission. So that's going to dictate what they do with letting water out or holding it, when they do and when they don't.
Yep, that's exactly right. And we'll have to wait and see. Like I said, they're not going to let it out until the rivers go down.
There you go, bud.
Hey, well, I got a quick question about Lake Monroe. What, I know there was at least one town, but what were the towns that got covered up in that down there?
Well,
Fairfax was one of them.
Fairfax was one, yes.
Fairfax was one of them. What was that one up on the east end there?
The east end. Oh, up by Crooked Creek?
Yeah. Isn't that awful?
Well, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I thought you knew that one, but
well,
we both do know, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, Ross Decker, and all them lived up in there. Well, maybe it'll come to me after a while.
All right,
I can't.
We need to look around a little.
Yeah.
Well, it is kind of interesting that they had to sacrifice some. It was probably a beautiful little valley there at one time.
Oh, yeah, it was. And, of course, that's the reason the lake's there. I mean, it was all got underwater at times. But Ross Decker, he had a dairy, I believe it was, up there.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't that town we're talking about, or suburb.
That's in the wild and woolly part of the state, right over in there.
Yes, it is.
And back in the day, that was still pretty wild, that eastern part of Monroe County, southeastern corner, you know.
Yeah, Rex Keicher was the game warden up in there.
I bet he had his hands full.
Remember him?
I don't.
Rex Keicher, yeah, he was... game warden, yeah. Had one arm.
Armed game warden, yeah. Well.
And he was a dandy.
It was a different kind of job in those days.
It was.
They were game wardens, truly, and were not state policemen like they are now.
Right.
Made a big difference in a lot of things.
But, old Rex, he'd chase you down. He was a good one.
Yes, sir.
And he trained a lot of the officers of course, they're retiring now, but that's been on the force here in the last few years that's retired. Because I know several of them's come in the store and we get to talking about Rex, and they'd start telling about they'd go with him, and he was training, more or less training them, to a certain point. And, he trained a lot of them.
Well, how are we doing on time here? Should I launch on this change in wildlife rules?
Yeah, go ahead. It'd only be a minute break if we do run into one, so.
All right, here we go. This is a summary from the DNR. Okay, there's a list of them. They're going to change the rule on hunting from a boat. It allows hunting of squirrels from a motorized boat as long as the boat is not under power when shooting the animal. consent of landowner would still be required to take a person from an animal from person's property. I guess that means if you're in public land down there, you don't really need to get permission for anybody to hunt. That's, you know, I'm glad to hear that. Okay, that's number one. Two, taking of animals on state parks and historic sites. Okay, here it allows the taking of wild animals on state parks and historic sites that are causing damage or posing a health and safety threat. That would be raccoons, skunks, possums, coyotes, foxes, beavers, muskrats, minks, and squirrels. Only authorized DNR people or a person with written permission for a nuisance control or trapping license could take the animals, okay? Release of captive bred native and exotic species of mammals. This is the next one. Prohibits release of captive bred native and exotic species. Many categories there. This would prohibit the release of exotic species into the wild, such as San Juan rabbits, boa constrictors, alligators, and other animals that did not come from the wild in Indiana.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, I'll be done.
How about that? Has anybody been turned loose alligators up here?
No, I haven't seen any alligators lately. Haven't heard of any.
Okay.
I'm sure there's one somewhere.
For next one, fur bearer hunting and trapping starting and ending times. Remove starting and ending times for fur bearer hunting and trapping seasons. Seasons still the same dates, but no daylight and or dark hours. So I guess you could trap it in the night if you want to. Next one, possession of fur bearer hides and carcasses. Allows hides and carcasses of legally harvested fur bearers, which is now going to include bobcats and otters, taken during the season to be kept year-round by hunters and trappers without a special permit. Okay, here's the big one. Bobcat hunting and trapping authorizes a bobcat hunting and trapping season. There would be a bag limit of one bobcat per person, a statewide quota, and the season would be open only in a restricted number of counties in southern Indiana. Okay?
All righty.
That's the November 8th one. So only people in southern Indiana will be doing this, apparently, or people who come down here and get a bobcat hunting permit, or is that your regular? We don't know. Okay, river otters. Removes the starting and ending time for otter trapping. Allows the hide to be possessed any time of the year and clarifies requirements for otters taken outside the season or in a county where the season is not open. So I guess that would be poached, right?
Poach, yeah.
Okay. Possession of badgers removes the reference to bobcats since the season is now proposed. Exotic mammals removes references to exotic mammals, deer and bovidae, that's cows, and restrictions on cervidae, that's deer and elk, as a result of changes to the law. The DNR no longer has authority over legally owned captive bred deer and elk and certain species of captive bred bovidae.
Okay, Don, got to stop you there. We're going right to a break. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Okay.
Don't go away, folks. Leave that dial right there, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. This is WFHB, serving the community for 25 years, broadcasting independently from the John Waldron Arts Center. Owned and operated by Ivy Tech Community College in Bloomington, a proud sponsor of WFHB Community Radio. It is now 32 degrees and overcast in Bloomington. It will be sunny today with a high near 50. Northeast wind around 6 miles an hour. So watch out. The warm weather's coming here pretty soon. And should be a nice day to get out there and enjoy the outdoors. You're listening to Inside Outdoors here at WFHB every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. You can also find us online at Morrison's.
website, who's underwriting our program. Also, we have a website called InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and you can also find us on WFHB. So there's plenty of ways to hear us if you can't get up this early. We'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon. All right, we're back. And,
hey.
Yeah.
I was half asleep over here.
Yeah, I had to wake you up.
It's still early in the morning. mercy.
Hey, Don, you can keep going now. Sorry to have to take that quick break, but we do now and then.
Well, there's a lot of a whole longer list of these rule changes, but I'm just going to throw out a couple that people seem to be interested in. And the number one besides the bobcat and otters would be the black bears. You know, remember the two black bears that were down in southern Indiana?
Yeah, I haven't heard much from them yet, at least recently.
Well, the DNR wants to be prepared for them, I guess. The new rule lists black bears separately as an exotic instead of as an exotic animal. They were listed as exotics under the state's definition until this. The restrictions on possession of live bears and hides of bears obtained legally from another state remain the same. So basically just saying that a black bear is no longer exotic in Indiana because two of them showed up across the river. Okay. Other fall wild turkey season, three new counties for the fall wild turkey firearm season. That's Elkhart, Kosciuszko, and Noble. So those are all up north. Other than that, there's some stuff about nuisance control licenses. Fur buyer licenses will allow you to possess bobcats now if this passes, which it probably will. A deer control permit would require specify requirements to get a permit to shoot one out your back door. Position of endangered species removes animals authorized, in other words, bobcats and otters. First permits to possess a wild animal under a wild animal possession permit. Okay, there's a separate fisheries related rule that has gone into effect that was from last September. So there you go. There now we got some dates for the hearings on these things, which you may want to hear. The first one is Wednesday, March the 14th at 5:30 p.m. at Spring Mill Inn, the Lakeview Room. Okay, that's down in Mitchell. You don't know if you want to go. It's down there. It's the Spring Mill Inn. Thursday, March the 22nd, starting at 5:30 p.m. at Mounds State Park, the Pavilion. And that's up northeast Indiana, north of Anderson, right, as far as I can recall. And that's the hearings where you can comment on these new hunting rules that includes the bobcat issue. Okay, and by the way, some of this gets I posted on the Inside Outdoors Facebook page. Just look up Inside Outdoors on Facebook. There's an Inside Outdoors TV show out in Nebraska. That's not us, so just look for Inside Outdoors. And a lot of this stuff is posted on there. I keep it fairly current. So that's that on the rules. But I know there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. The bobcat thing has been on TV in Indianapolis numerous times now. So we even got a mailing from Wildcare, you know, there in Bloomington. Got an email from them.
I saw that. That was just the other day, right? Yeah.
Yes. Brand new notice. So Wildcare is not for it, as you might expect. You remember them having those bobcat kittens out there a few years back?
Yeah.
One of the most popular thing they ever had in the wild care out there, and I can see why they would not be wanting to see trapping. Now, I got to say, trapping is a traditional thing that people in the country have done to augment their incomes and control animals for as long as we've been a country. I think it's cruel, and it's certainly brutal to the people involved and the animals involved. And unfortunately, right now, we don't really know of other ways to control them. I think they're probably coming down in favor of those people who do harvest these animals.
Well, you know, the bobcats were hunted to extinction just about in the mid-1900s, and they were finally listed as an endangered species in 1969. So that wasn't too long ago they were listed as an endangered species, and a lot of the conservationists and, you know, are still saying that this is just a commercial exploitation of them and not, you know, it's just going to benefit a small small interest group. And, you know, it's not really enough data to even show that the bobcat population is not up enough now. Hey, so I don't think it is. I don't think that they're back to strength they used to be at all.
Here's their reasoning. Since approximately 60 bobcats a year are killed on the highway, they think that, you know, that probably you could harvest 60 bobcats a year to count for those other 60 that are killed by cars. Now, yeah, that's pretty shaky. I would agree.
Yeah.
And no, you're right. They do not have any population estimates. It's really hard to count bobcats, man. I mean, you can't see them, you know, unless they walk right up to you. They're nearly invisible out there in the woods.
Yeah.
So
you won't find many walking up to you.
The only way you can get them is to trap them. And like I agree with you. It's a very inhumane way of dealing with an animal population.
Well, you know, once you got that animal in the trap, the guy who's running the trap line has to go up there and kill that animal, most generally, because it's still alive.
Well, yeah.
Really mad. And you can't shoot the animal because it leaves a hole in the pelt. So you hit it on the head with a hammer. And, you know, that sometimes takes numerous blows. Because you can't hit this fox or whatever it is that's wiggling around there at your feet and caught in this trap. And I've seen it, and I've been with people while they did it, and I understand what they're doing, but, boy, I could never do it. I couldn't do it.
No. Well, there was a time and place when these things happened, and, you know, I just think we've grown beyond it, or we should be, but we're not.
Well, there's still country people out there with country people ways, and there is a need for trapping in some regards. Like, you got a little lake on your farm and it's full of muskrats. It's going to ruin your dam if you don't get some trappers in there. At least that's the only way I know of to remove them. I guess you could sit out there and shoot them at night. Maybe. I don't know. What do you say about that, Bill?
Yeah, it can be done. I know they got in my dam, and well, they've rent my lake. It's dry. But I did go down there and set with the rifle, and that's how I got rid of them.
Oh, well, good for you. So it can be done. You don't have to trap them.
No, you don't have to trap them.
So there's other animals, too. We got bobcats and raccoons. And
well, they ought to do something about the raccoons. They're thick.
There's a lot of them out there.
You ain't a kidding.
Not really.
You can't have a garden with any sweet corn in it. They ruined mine last year. I got one mess.
Yeah.
and they're hard to trap because they've got that fresh corn. They're not going to get in the trap and eat old cat food or something like that when they got a fresh roast near there to eat.
Right. They're extremely smart. There was never a cooler invented that a raccoon couldn't open.
I don't think so, because he keeps getting in my feed barrel of the night, and I had to put a strap on it to hold the lid on, and I'll have to trap him because he's eventually going to cause me problems.
Well, there you have it. There you have it. That's always going to be the thing about trapping. Somebody has to do it sometimes. So, but we don't really have to trap bobcats and otters.
I agree with you there. I think that's a little far out.
Well, I don't know what, you know, since I'm down here in Florida, there's trapping going on down here. There's a lot of country people still here, and I expect most states are generally for trapping just as a means to control what they call nuisance animals. And other than that, I don't know if it needs to be expanded.
Well, I thought it was going pretty good the way it was.
Yes, I think so too.
I don't see any reason to make no wholesale changes in it, but I guess maybe they do. I don't know.
I guess they do.
I don't see it. But.
So I can't imagine the biologist coming forth with a proposal to expand the trapping season. I'd say somebody up there above them has put some bug in their ear to say, hey, we want to have a trapping season. Now, I don't know who that would have been. But
I don't know either. And the thing of it is, look at your biologists now. The older biologists have retired and left.
Yeah.
And you're getting the younger ones, and a lot of them are from out of state. They're coming in here, you know, hiring in here from everywhere. They're not local people. And where they come from, maybe trapping is one of their great things. And then they bring it in here and try to change our laws to match where they come from, because that's what they're used to.
Well, that could well be, Bill. It must be because, you know, they had that one biologist that signed off on the live bait dog training idea and was going to hang around over there in Linton and make sure they didn't break any rules for a while, and she said they were just fine. But anyway, you're right, and I'm surprised any biologists come here at all, because our pay is so low for wildlife biologists in Indiana. A lot of our experienced biologists have left, or you know, over the years, because of that low pay, when
right.
they can go to just about any other state and do better.
But you got to look at it this way too: a young biologist that's maybe out of school a year or two, or just got out of school. This is a stepping stone. Indiana is a stepping stone to a better job in some other state, or a higher paying job, maybe the same job, but a higher paying in another state. So if he comes here and stays a year or two or three, whatever, and he puts his application in, he's got something to brag about. Well, I've been here in Indiana for 3 years, and put it on his resume, and that goes a long ways.
Well, it does give him some experience. You're absolutely right. And, That also means that there's always going to be openings for wildlife biologists in Indiana.
Oh, yeah. Just about any time you want to look, I think there's an opening, because they're not, you know, like I said, they're coming in, staying a year or two. And I know of one in particular from here that went to Michigan and practically doubled his wages doing the same job.
That is absolutely correct. That's exactly what happens. You go to a state like Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, you know, a lot of states in the South, they have so many hunters and fishermen that generate revenue for them that the biologist, everybody associated with it, gets paid more.
Mm-hmm.
And those states I just, even Illinois, of course, Illinois is a big state. It's got Chicago as a tax base. A lot of those people are into fishing, you know. So, yeah, we're just kind of the little guy where there's always a job.
Yeah, it's a stepping stone, and you know, you can't blame them. I mean, they're looking for a job when they get out of college, and there's an opening here, and chances are they can get on because Indiana's always looking for one, and so it's a stepping stone. And like I said, I don't blame them, and I don't know. Wyoming, I think, pays pretty good too. I don't know.
Yeah, all those western states pay well, I'm pretty sure, although I'm surprised that Wyoming does.
Well, I've in the past, I've just kind of glanced through their job openings and stuff and what it pays, and they're not that bad at paying jobs. They may not be like Michigan and Wisconsin up in there, but they're pretty good pay. And I know of one neighbor biologist that used to live here and was biologist here again. He was here in Bloomington for 4 or 5 years, I don't know, and he went to Wyoming, and shoot, he's climbing the ladder like a trooper, because I don't know, he started out there in small game or something, I don't remember, and now he's got an opportunity to be go to Cheyenne to the office to be over all of it, whatever. I don't know what position they call that, but
right.
I was talking to his dad the other day, and he said that the guy that was over him retired, and they wanted him to put in for the job, and he did. And I don't know where he's got it or not, but he'll be over all the small game. Biologist, so you know he's climbed a ladder, and I'm all for him. You know, he got experience here and went out there and just dived right in.
I agree. Well, that's how she goes, bud. I want to kind of change the topic just a second.
And we're almost done here, so real quick.
I just want to mention the trout stocking is going to start pretty soon, and most of the trout stocking will take place in April, but it'll all be done by the middle to April the 18th or so at the various places that get trout every year. Spring Mill's the only one in our area.
Oh, my.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Don.
Yeah, you take care and don't get sunburnt down there, buddy.
Okay, we'll see you boys soon.
All righty. You take care. Well, we're going to have to get out of here, I guess, and I hope everybody enjoyed the program this morning, and I hope it was of great interest to you. Give us an email or whatever to Rich there if you have a question or anything you didn't understand or anything, and we'll try to get right back to you. So, you guys all have a good week. Enjoy the week, and be safe and sound, and we'll be back next week.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich. And listen online anytime at insideoutdoorsradio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning. And so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. Volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana. Also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, and 106 in Ellettsville. And online again at WFHB.org. It is right now 32 degrees, overcast, and it's going to get up to about 50 today. So looking for some little better weather. Thanks for joining us on Inside Outdoors, and we will see you next week, 6 o'clock in the morning, every Saturday. on WFHB.